Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and God bless you. This is Elder Kathy Ann Kendall, and you're listening to God Still Heals. We thank God for each and every one of you that are joining us on tonight. It is awesome to be back on the air with Blog Talk Radio, amen, and Facebook Live that we did on last week. It's just quite interesting. Yes, it is. I tell you, we are doing new and marvelous things that God has made us more than able to do. How are you tonight? How have you been? I have missed Blog Talk Radio. I've missed hearing from you. And you. I thank God for those that support the ministry on a regular basis. It has been a very busy and conquering week. We have accomplished some things that only God could have given us the strength to do, and He's given us the strength to do them well. And I'm excited about it. Won't you join me? And Father, we thank you. We magnify you. You're Lord of lords and King of kings. There's none like you nowhere. Father, you have no need to consult another. For you speak and things are formed and shaped. They are birthed and new. Change takes place immediately. Father, one word from you and blind eyes are opened. The lame walk, Father, the deaf hear. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your long suffering. Father, most of all, thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Father, for a surety, the best thing to know is that we will not be separated from you for an eternity, but we will have a place in your kingdom. When everything else has passed away, when everything else is gone, it's your word that's going to remain, and we're excited about that. Yes, we are. God, thank you. Father, as people prepare to leave their homes, as this threat of the enemy has come once again to the United States of America and to our shores, we command Irma to stay in the water. Father, you spoke to the storm, and you commanded it to be calm and to be still. And we thank you that that same power lies down within us. It lives down on the inside of us. My God, yes, it does. And we choose to speak to the storm, and we command it to stop. We refuse to allow it to enter the shores of America in the name of Jesus. We've seen you override scientific things over and over again. Hallelujah. We've seen you defy science over and over again. So, Father, we ask you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you for the power and the authority that you've given us, that we're able to speak to things and they have to obey in the name of Jesus. So we speak to Irma and we say, Irma, stay in the ocean in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You all, I am excited about what God is doing in my life and in the life of the ministry. I was speaking to a friend of mine on today, Reverend Toby, and we were talking about the storm, and he shared about the power of God, that we are able to speak to storms, and God speaks to storms in our life. And as we exchange information and testimonies, I just want you to go with me to the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter. In the 23rd through the 27th verse. That's Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 23, amen, through 27. And we read the Gospel of Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 23rd verse. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? We're going to take a look at Mark's rendition of the same event, and that's going to be Mark 4:39. That's Mark, the fourth chapter, and the 39th verse. Amen? Yeah. And it reads, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. That's not the correct. We're going to Mark 4. That's Mark 5. We're going to go into Mark 4:39. And it reads, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Very, very similar account of that in particular event. Except that Mark records Jesus saying, how is it that ye have no faith? How is it? Could you imagine they've been walking with Jesus, they've seen the miracles, the signs and the wonders, and when a storm comes, they are fearful to the point that they wake him up and tell him that they're going to perish. And he's on the ship. How many times in our lives do we know that God is there with us, but yet and still we're still fearful? Yet and still we don't demonstrate faith. It's like, where is the faith? Where is it? Where is it that God could be on in your life, and you know it, you and I both, and yet there is something that concerns us or weighs us down? How could that be? How could it be that we've seen the miracles, the signs, and the wonders? We've seen him heal one person. We've seen him deliver another person. We've seen him come through for us time and time again. And yet when the storm comes, we cry out, Lord, save us. We're going to perish. We're going to read a little further in the book of Mark. The fifth chapter in the first verse, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Galilee. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, the reason I wanted to read this to you again and include this portion of scripture is because when they came out of the ship, immediately a man with the unclean spirit met Jesus. As soon as the ship landed, doesn't say he met the disciples, doesn't say he asked for Jesus. It says he met him. In the fourth chapter and in the 40th verse, Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" I was wondering, just wondering, where were the disciples when the ship landed? That the man with the unclean spirit met Jesus and didn't meet any of them. How is that? Where were they at? Were they not ready for ministry still? Did they not have any faith yet? Because we see many miracles, and I know a lot of times we give the disciples a bad rap because we don't think about the fact that we do those exact same things today. You understand what I'm saying? We do those exact same things today. When was the last storm in your life that you took dominion over? That you spoke to, that you exercised faith to? You all, don't get me wrong. I don't think that there's anything at all wrong with crying out to God. I don't think there's anything at all wrong with asking God for deliverance, for help, for assistance for our angels, all of that. I believe that we have the power over 1,000, just like the Bible says, and if it's 1,001, you need to call and get some help, because this is what you have a dominion over. Sizing the authority and the dominion we have. A better question: do we have any authority or dominion? Because I don't happen to believe that fear and faith can dwell in the same place at the same time. I don't. It's remarkable to me that we can do anything. And on Monday, we're shuffling our feet, literally, and telling the Master, "Thank you for the seat of David." That example is courtesy of Apostle Sandra Thomas. When Apostle Thomas first began to say that, I knew that she was talking about a mentality, but I didn't understand. And as she taught it, and we submitted and we learned that, what is it that you think about you? How is it that you could think more about me than you think about yourself? Jesus tells us that the same power that rose him from the dead resides in us. When is the last time you used? When is the last time that you rebuked pain rather than taking pain medication? And I happen to believe you can do both. But did you take authority over it and rebuke it? The last time that you saw yourself behave in a way that was contrary to the Christian walk that you've committed yourself to, did you cast spirit out? Did you check yourself? Why do I ask that question? Because we have got to begin to utilize the power that God's given us. The world is looking for Jesus, and they ought to find him in you. They ought to find him in me.
that in whatever situation we find ourselves in, that we have a godly contentment. I'm not talking about satisfied. I'm not talking about crossing your arms and sitting down and not doing anything. I'm talking about a satisfaction in my heart. A woman of God in Arizona said to me, she said, Kathy, God promised us the strength already. I had to go back and find it and read it. She said, He promised us strength already. You can count on it. You can bank on it. It's not going to fold. He promised us strength already. Now, will we follow the disciplinary instructions? You know, they used to have a joke about a seafood diet, and they would say, yeah, you eat all the food that you see. But really, we ask for something, and then our behavior is in complete opposition for what we've asked for. We said we wanted it. God is on the throne. We went to Him and petitioned Him and said, I want this. And then He gave the instructions for it. Now, He said yes, but He gave instructions for it. And we're still saying, but God said yes. He did. But what about the instructions? He did say yes. He said yes to the desire of your heart, and He gave you a plan on how to get there. A woman of God shared with me, she said, you know, she said, I've changed my portions, and I've changed what I eat. I only try to eat baked food now, and I eat smaller portions more often. That's a change. That's an investment in what it is that she's asking God for. I would go to rehab therapy. They called it cardiac rehab. And a woman of God would ask me every so often, she would say, you know, have you hit that point where you love it yet, where the adrenaline kicks in and, the endorphins come out and you feel better and the exercise becomes a good experience? And I said, no. And she let some time go by, and she would ask me that question again, and I was like, no, not yet. I haven't experienced that yet. And then I began to watch different when they exercise. And I realized that when they were exercising, they were pushing themselves to the brink of something, whether it was the brink of weightlifting, of how much weight they could lift, whether it was the brink of how long they could endure on the treadmill, or whether it was the endurance of the stair stepper or the bicycle. Now listen to me closely. Rehab. And I was doing the exercises that they told me to do. But I was not pushing at the brink of anything. My attitude was, I'm here, I'm going to do these exercises, this is what I'm supposed to do, and that really was it. When I began to push myself to the brink of the strength that I had at that time, when I began to say, no, we're not going to do 20 minutes. We're going to do 25 minutes. And then I would go from, no, we're not going to do 25 minutes. Now we're going to do 30 minutes. When I began to push myself, when I would not settle for the mediocre, for the average, for the normal, when I was willing to invest some sweat and some energy and sometimes some tears in what I wanted, then I began to see those results. Then when the woman of God asked me, have you reached that place? I could say, yes, it happened on this day. I'm going to give you one more example, and then we're going to move on to a different subject. While I was recovering, I could not ride in the front seat. So you all know I couldn't drive. And there are drivers, and then there are drivers. And I have some friends that are professional drivers. And when I was in the car with someone in their skill level of driving, I could go to sleep without a problem. My appreciation for the ride was the same when I was in the car with someone that didn't have that skill level. But I didn't go to sleep. Did you hear what I said? My appreciation for the ride was the same. But I did not go to sleep with someone that I did not consider as skilled as a professional driver while they were driving me. Where am I going with this? There are some people in our lives that do not have the skill that's required at this point in time in our lives. It's some things that's required in your life today, and they do not have the ability. It's not that they're being mean or low down. They don't have it. And you keep on trying to connect with them, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whether it's financial, whether it's emotionally. You keep trying to make that connection, and it won't happen because they do not possess the skills that are required in this part of your life. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's long-suffering. Maybe it's the ability to listen and not repeat. Lord have mercy. People of God, take a look at your inner circle. Are you the big kahuna? Then you need to come on out of that water. Come on out of there and get in where you're not the big kahuna so that you can grow some more, so you can learn some more, so you can be stretched and challenged some more. I'm not talking about leaving your church or leaving your denomination. I'm talking about being able to not be in your comfort zone. I'm talking about being able to choose to stretch yourself because God desires for you to have good things. His thoughts towards you are good and not evil, for an expected end and a good success. Because it's his good pleasure to bless you. Because he wouldn't let you ask him for bread and then give you a rock. Remember on last week we talked about the fact that God is not man, that we must first believe that he is God. This is another reason of why that's so key. We have the ability to adapt to things that are beneath us. Somebody doesn't like that terminology, but there are some things that are beneath you. There are some things that are beneath me. There are some places that are beneath me. Oh, yes, it is. There are some behaviors, conversations, languages that are beneath me. And it's important that we realize that. For what God is doing in our life, we thank him for it.
You all, I'm asking you that you email us, that you call us, that you write us. There are some wonderful things that are happening. I want to share some great news with you. We have some authors that are putting out some books. I want you all to be ready to receive them. We have Dr. Wright is going to be releasing a series of books in a moment. Reverend Toby is releasing a inspirational book full of the things that God has given him from the place that he was to bring him to the place where he is now. And I want you all to know that it's important that we sow into the kingdom of God and the things of God. I believe you pronounce her name, Kim Burrell. There are people in the kingdom, you all that have businesses, that offer services, and I want you to give them a try. Check some of the Christian businesses that are in your area. Give them a try. We go places that we don't know people. We don't know what their standard of living is or what they believe, and we give our money and our business to them. And if it's bad, we complain and we go to the next one. Let's give our brothers and sisters that same opportunity. All right? Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Thank you for the time that you've given us on God Still Heal. God, thank you for each and every person that sows into this ministry. Give it back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to your word. Father, we thank you for our apostles. We thank you that you walked in the fullness of your word and your promise. Father, we thank you that every part of her body, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, must obey you in Jesus' name. Thank you for a people that have ears to hear and a heart to receive and the will to obey. Thank you. God, thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we lift up the states of Florida to you and the coastal states around the United States, Father, and we thank you that there's a barrier put up. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that there's a barrier put up. Hallelujah. Glory to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Continue to watch over your people everywhere. Father, touch the senior citizens who don't have family members. Comfort their hearts. Lay them on the hearts of men and women of God that will see to them, that will love on them, that will honor them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. We speak to the one in the hospital, and we command cancer to dry up. We go to the burn unit, and we send healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. So we send your word to the research labs on lupus, God, that you would put in a man's mind, Father, the cure in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, thank you. Father, put into the mind of man, hallelujah, how to cause the pancreas to wake back up and work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. You all, you can write us at God Still Heals at 702 Oaks Plantation Drive in Jacksonville, Florida. That's 32211. That's God Still Heals, Plantation Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32211. You can email us at GodStillHeals@gmail.com. That's God Still Heals at gmail.com. And you're always welcome to give us a call at area code 312-221-9072. Thank you and God bless you. I love you, God Still Heals, and good night.